Jope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Jope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Jope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Hi there, first day of Bills camp. Did you go?
I'm so tired of training camp. Since this drag on, these practices and these news conferences, just blah, blah, blah. Best shape of my life, blah, blah, blah. Come on.
You're mostly kidding.
Get me to September. No, but, I'm 100% kidding. I loved it. I watched every video I could get my face on today. Everything I could get eyes on today. I just, girl, look at that.
Feed me.
Yep.
McDermott talking about the kickoff thing right there. It doesn't take me long to get to. What is he saying? Why are we doing this? What is the point? So you didn't go. You watched videos from it. You saw clips, but yes, you didn't go out there.
I did not go to Rochester.
I went halfway.
Oh, wow. Why'd you do that?
To meet Adam Krautwurst for lunch.
Okay. Well, that's nice. Yeah. You guys have...
I made it sound like I was on my way to Fisher and then stopped. No, but I was never on my way to Fisher. Right. It just happened to be about halfway.
That's a long way to go for lunch. But, you know, you got to meet somebody halfway, then
Greece,
that's how it's got to go then. All
right. Yeah, that's what the phrase means.
Halfway to Greece?
That's what the phrase means, meeting someone halfway.
Greece, New York.
Halfway between...
Yeah, good.
Claypool.
Oh, man, so now I want... No, go ahead.
We've got a catch, and maybe we have an injury. Sal will say more later, whatever he knows, but I just heard limped off.
But then is working after. Like, he seems fine. I think there was maybe some concern, but looks fine and is doing extra work, or did extra work after. I assume that's even wrapped up now, too.
What are the odds here?
On Claypool?
He is somebody, as you know, that I am excited about. I think the Bills did a good thing bringing in as many receivers as they did without, you know, obvious solutions at that position. Claypool included, if not quintessential to that. Like, we've been all over it. I mean, he's an athlete, and he's had a difficult few years in the NFL. He's already been on three other teams. But, man, it's the type of player that you want to just sort of hope it clicks for when he's playing for you. So I've got, like, the package, Chase Claypool. I've got the need for somebody to be a standout at that position. But I don't know just what kind of odds there are. What are the right odds here that he'll get the chance he needs and then perform? Like, there's room, but how much room is there for him to really matter?
I think it's really hard to forecast because I think almost everything about their decision that they'll ultimately make on him is going to be about things that we don't see. Because I expect him to look the part in practice. Like I think he's right. Big, he's talented, he's fast. I mean, what else do you need? I mean, I think he's an athlete. He's a flashy player. He was a second round pick for a reason. So, you know, I've been saying here for really since he got here, like this, the whole thing is a test to see where his head is at. And there's no way to. I'm not going to see highlights of that on my X feed.
X.
This is not going to know. I mean, we'll eventually get around to hearing and seeing him talk to the media. Like, everybody will take their turns doing that. But I feel like behind the scenes, like, I've advocated for the Bills to be testing him at every turn, like just casual conversations with trainers or staffers. Like, I think there should be intention behind most interactions. I don't know that I need the people serving him potatoes or something at lunch testing him, but
Well, you want to see if he's going to use silverware.
Sure. But I want to know if he's just putting on a good front, and if privately he still thinks he's the greatest, or deserves something that he hasn't gotten yet, even from this team, because there's can he play and keep his head on straight, and then there's, I think, how much, what is his role going to be? Like, what is really available to him?
Well, that's right.
Right? Because if he is in a support role, is he cut out to do that? Right? Like, just will his ego allow for him to take, the amount of snaps that, I don't know, a part-time player, like the fourth or fifth wide receiver on the team get? I'm not ruling out him winning some starting job, but I just think he's got an uphill climb. There's a highly touted draft pick, and there's Shakir, and there's a free agent in Samuel, and I think those are your three guys if everyone does reasonably well here, acclimating to a new team in the case of Samuel, taking a step forward in the case of Shakir, and just, not looking too much like a rookie in the case of Coleman. So what's his ceiling, going in, if those are the three guys that end up being like the main three guys? Can he function? Can he tolerate emotionally being a guy that gets, 12 snaps in a game? I don't know the answer to that. And I think what they need to find out is whether they can find an answer to that they trust. Because again, I think in practice, in drills, he's going to look as good as any of these guys, but what's derailed his career has been his maturity or lack of it.
I guess I'm more, because it's easier to talk about, more interested in what kind of opportunity there might be, because I'm sort of thinking about him that there should be a real opportunity, but that doesn't have to be right. It depends on, maybe it comes down to what the Bills think of Shakir and what his value to their offense is, by comparison, because Samuel is going to be on the field,
mm-hmm.
and Coleman will be on the field at least some. Like, they're going to, he's a part of the plan.
If he's not a staple in their three receiver sets, he's the first guy in.
Yeah, so you've got the experience of Samuel and the contract. You've got the draft capital and the, again, ceiling for Coleman. I don't know. I'm not assuming. You are more this than me. I'm not assuming that Shakir is like almost an every down player because he ascended second half last year. That might be the plan, though. I think one reason why I'm reluctant on him is all of this that they did. Including Claypool and Valdes-Scantling and even the draft pick, right? I mean, they have thrown a lot of darts at wide receiver, which might indicate, maybe Shakir is okay, somebody, he's relevant, but he's not going to take over or anything like that. So I've got, as wide open as it might seem or feel because of Diggs and Davis leaving and all the different bodies, what can Claypool at best, expect to carve out in terms of a role, in terms of targets, these kinds of things? I mean, would it ever be that he's somebody who gets six or seven targets a week, where he passes Shakir if that's what happens? Maybe that's what Shakir's number should be. So he's just a curiosity. Because I think if everybody they have is absolutely maxes out, and the Bills sit down and go, well, what makes us best? In my opinion, probably he counts. Like, he would be maybe even first on that list of receivers. But they don't have as much of an investment in him.
No.
So he'd really have to blow you away to get to that point. And maybe he will, and that's with, I'm sort of giving him all that other stuff because we're not going to know
right, yeah.
what that is,
sure.
Even if he gets cut, who knows if the Bills will even sort of tell you.
Right. I doubt that they would air it out. It could come out through back channels or something. But yeah, no, Brandon Bean or Sean McDermott, I'm not going to tell you. Frankly, we didn't trust him. You know, that I don't think will ever get said. I mean, the sit down and figure out what makes us best is like, there's a lot of way that conversation can go, right? Mac Hollins is a guy who, as a receiver, is not any, I don't think even close to the athlete that Claypool is. But he knows his role. He's mature. He's a solid pro. Like, you can trust him. I think that's his reputation anyway. And that's a guy that's going to, you need me to run down and cover punts? Okay, coach. You know, like, that's what he's going to do. And Claypool has talked about being willing to do that, but we don't know, A, even if he's any good at it, and B, how genuine that is, like how real that is. So you're trying to make a decision to have the most well-rounded team. It's not necessarily the most talented team, but team is central to that. I could see them, if it's close, going to Hollins in place of Claypool because they trust him to do all the things that, you know, a receiver that's not getting six or seven targets a week will do for you. Whereas Claypool, that might be always kind of a bit of a tug of war to get him to buy into that because it's not who he has ever really had to be in his NFL career. And so, you know, that's why I'm so focused on, you know, where his head is at and them trusting him, you know, emotionally. Cause I think on the field, he should look the part. Like, he might look like a guy you go watch practice, but like, how is that guy not on my team?
One particular aspect of this offense that I am very curious about is red zone. And that's because Diggs and Davis were such a high percentage of targets, you know, in the end zone at least. And how will the Bills replace that? Do you know Claypool as a rookie scored 13 touchdowns? That is 4 years ago. Like, that's not a long time ago. But as a rookie for the Steelers, he had 9 receiving touchdowns, which I think was top 10 in the league, all players. And then he had 11. He had 2 rushing touchdowns. I misread it. So it's 11 touchdowns he scored as a rookie, not 13.
Still really good.
Still good. And that might be an important piece to consider. I don't know if Shakir is going to be that guy, you know? Maybe you want Kincaid to be. Knox.
Coleman, I think you want.
Coleman you want to have be. You know, red zone available players. The clips today from Sal are end zone passes, touchdowns. I know it was a touchdown because there's a ref there. There's no defensive player on these routes. Okay. But there is an official, thank goodness, to signal touchdown.
All right.
That'd be a workout. If you're an official, you're standing there in the end zone watching, you know, calling these plays, and it's just pass after pass after pass, no corners, no DBs. Yeah. You know, you're just basically almost like you're doing calisthenics.
Maybe Claypool's biggest, I mean, I already mentioned the Hollins thing, but Coleman, style-wise, he didn't clock the speed that Claypool had coming out of college anyway, but, you know, they'll talk about his play speed and everything, but like, Claypool's value, like, you're talking red zone, he's already outranked by Coleman, I think, just because of his draft status and how much they'll want that to succeed and, you know, validate the pick and just get him up and running. So, like, almost every avenue you turn down with Claypool, there's someone in the way that you can make a case for would be the choice because of whatever. Like I just said about Hollins, because of special teams and a willingness to really dive into that. Coleman should be a red zone guy. Like, I don't love the idea of like them focusing on red zone fades, but there's lots of different ways to use a big bodied receiver in the red zone. It doesn't just have to be, you know, throwing it to the pylon and hoping your guy can go make the play. So if Claypool, you know, is thinking that's a way to go, well, there's another guy in the way already that I'd have to work really, really hard to displace. I think, again, assuming Coleman looks the part and understands everything and isn't, like, you know, way behind. That really, if you start hearing a few days into camp, Coleman turned the wrong way, lack miscommunication, whatever, that might be the best thing you could hear if you want Claypool to make the team. Because if Coleman needs to be slow played here in any way, that, I think, accentuates the value of having a guy like Claypool around.
So we're playing for wide receiver 4.
I think, yeah.
Or 3.
I think so. You're right. I mean, you've never been as bullish on Shakir as I am. I expect him to be on the field a lot, all over the place. I think they trust him. I think they like him. I think he did broke through. I mean, he showed really well late last year. And I just I think that they will use him. So I think he to me, those three guys, Coleman, Shakir, Samuel, are the guys I would expect when games comes around to game time. Those are the three guys that are getting most of the snaps at receiver. So, yeah, I think you're talking about wide receiver 4 through 6 and, you know, what roles are available. And, again, can you trust this guy to be sort of a spare part type player?
So who's someone that's not Josh Allen or Chase Claypool that you're interested in here for the next month or so?
I'm very interested in Cole Bishop. And what happens there? I think it was maybe notable. I guess there was an injury in the spring for Mike Edwards. And I know McDermott said today that the plan had been when they signed him for him to be a starting player with Taylor Rapp. But DeMar Hamlin was with the ones today, from what I understand at practice.
Said that, yeah.
So that might just be temporary because, you know, Edwards just wasn't around in the spring, and maybe that'll change relatively quickly. But Bishop, to me, is a player that, you know, where you drafted him, to me, you know, just in general, I don't think it's unrealistic to think about him starting, but, you know, we'll talk to Sal in 45 minutes or so, already hearing Sal complexity of the defense. These guys know it. Edwards won Super Bowls with teams playing in this type of defense. Rapp was re-signed to be a starter. So it's probably an uphill climb, but I'm excited about Bishop. And, I'll be curious to hear and read about my center. I like Cedric Van Pran Granger. I had to get that right. I had that wrong last time I brought it up. Whether he shows at all, that might be for
rookies.
That might be for next year, but yeah, rookies. I'm curious about the rookies. I think there's opportunity here. Maybe not at center, but you know, they've remade safety. So Cole Bishop shows up and looks like he can do it. Then maybe there is opportunity there.
I think I read Brandon Bean calling it a new team, which, you know, okay. Not everywhere, but okay. Diggs was such a force, such a star, that you would have to feel his absence, you know? Not that that's necessarily bad or all bad, but I bet it does feel different there today.
Mm-hmm.
With no Diggs and Hyde and Poyer being so steady.
Right.
They've had their injuries, and it's not like they were on the field every practice, but still, like, you do have a hole, you know, created.
Sure.
And
Morse was a big presence on the offense, right, too, as the center of the offensive line. So that guy often becomes sort of like a de facto spokesperson for the line and the offense, even to an extent. So that's a voice, you know, that's missing. That's someone who I think you could count on for leadership and culture and do everything the right way. And he's gone too. There's a significant personalities as well as players that they've lost.
And so, of course, we have that reality in a moment here where the conversation has to be about winning the AFC, winning a Super Bowl, you know, finally. And that's really what kind of makes them especially interesting this year. They don't have to take a step back from all that. You know, you said a lot about Hyde and Poyer leaving, that, you know, that might actually be good for their play at that position because of the age that was shown, and, you know, it comes for everybody. And we'll see about Diggs and Davis, like, you know, Morse too. Just no given, to say the very least, that they'll be able to be as good, be as prolific in the passing game as they were with Diggs here, and Davis even. Well, here we go. It's the next first day of football season. It's not the last.
Right.
It's not the last first day of football season. It's just the next one.
But it is a first day. That's right.
I mean, how many are there? First day of camp, first day of preseason, first day of the regular season, first day, maybe if you play like on a Monday night last year, that day, your first game day of the season,
mm-hmm.
not, you know, the Thursday night or even the Sunday necessarily. Is that it? Mini camps? You count mini camp?
No, those are all like quarter or half day. Like it's not a first, it's like a half a day.
Okay, all right. So there's at least three, but maybe not four.
Yeah.
I had a conversation the other day with a friend who was talking about how, man, the NFL, it's just year-round. Like, it owns the whole calendar. And it had been a long time since I sort of thought about that. How, I mean, we're talking about Claypool here today. Like, these kinds of issues all the time, constantly, every day.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about these same things. I don't mean this like as a judgment on our show, but just how there was a time not that long ago where like today would have been the first day we would have talked about a lot of that stuff,
right.
Not the 100th consecutive or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like not physically at all, really, but, you know, just in terms of the material, I feel like I'm already in shape as camp starts.
Hey, well, we ride like the teams ride now, right? I mean, they're being around and talking and giving us, you know, subject matter, has us talking about them at a time of the year, like you just said, that we maybe otherwise wouldn't be. And, you know, they're also doing football stuff, so they're in shape when they get to training camp, and so are we.
Oh, so true.
We've been doing what we do for months.
Let's hope the Bills are in as good a shape as we are.
I feel great. I don't know that I've ever felt better. Best shape of my life over
Let's
here.
Let's go. That's what you say. First day of camp.
I'm really looking forward to it. I think we can accomplish a lot. I like the mix. I like the personalities. Yeah.
A lot of work to do, though.
Yeah.
The long season.
Schedule's not that tough, though.
The long season. All right. 803-0550 for your calls. Brandon Bean talking about some of the criticism Josh Allen faced or was, you know, said about him during the offseason. We'll talk about that. As Bulldog mentioned, Sal will join us. Chase Claypool, Cole Bishop, who is the player, maybe not including Allen, excluding Allen, that you're the most interested in hearing Sal report on, us talk about as we get going here with Bills Camp. 803-0550 again is the number. Thanks for being with us. We'll look for your calls after this. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
I think part of it, Sal, truthfully, is we all are well aware when Josh came out, there are people that thought he was a bust or would not make it for all the reasons that they've listed over the years. And I just think anytime someone thinks they got a crack, they're going to say, see, I told you so. They're looking for things. You can look at any player in any sport and point out negatives. No one is God or a robot. But Josh's positives don't even come close to the negatives.
Brandon Bean, interesting to listen to there. And he's probably, you know, he's pretty much right. I think.
Sure. I think we all can be guilty of that. Like, if we really dug in on something, trying to find some sliver of some, like, oh, look, I can hang on to that. See, I told you. You know, it's a losing battle, usually. when something turns as dramatically as Josh Allen turned, like, from what expectations were, expectation slash fear, what the fears were to what he's become. I mean, you should stop digging at some point, I think. Just sort of, okay, yeah, look, I blew it.
There is something, though, for him to prove still, I think, I would say. I mean, he hasn't won. There's always that for a
sure.
quarterback. But without Diggs, everybody's going to want to see if he can be the same player. 4,000 plus yards, all of it. And I think that that's a really big ask this year with Diggs gone. I am not the most confident fan in here when it comes to what the Bills offense is going to, at least in terms of the numbers, be. They could be an excellent running team, and Allen is great. So that, and if the defense is good, they'll win a lot of games. Like they don't have to break records. That's not the goal. But I am expecting a dip. And I wonder how he will look. Not to somebody who so dug in on their position from when he played at Wyoming, but just, you know, maybe this executive who was quoted talking about Allen being overrated, that's what Sal might have in the question been referring to. You know, that's what Bean is speaking to. That's not most people. I mean, there's always, kind of like Bean said, I mean, there's always going to be somebody, some percentage of people who are going to, you know, be the other way, be negative. I just think, like, he'll have a chance to impress people even more this year.
Yeah, there's opportunity here for sure. I mean, we've talked about this in certain ways, I think, in the context of talking about the MVP. Like if he has last season again, and the Bills are the 2 seed, like if everything is the same, I think his profile only grows because he's done that in a year where so much turned over and the receiving corps lost Stephon Diggs and got remade. And, you know, if Coleman looks like someone who can really be a player for the Bills, Allen will get credit for helping make that happen and just all of it. So, yeah, I mean, I think I'll bet. I mean, I don't know Josh personally at all. You know, people that I do know that do know him, you know, trust him immensely, that he is really what he presents on the outside. I'll bet he's dying to get on the field and show that he can do this without Diggs. Like, I think any competitor would be.
Yep.
Like, the opportunity is there for him to, you know, take a step in his career. Like, show, like, you're not going to have the same guys with you. If you show up in the NFL and you hope to play somewhere between 10 and 15 years, you know, you're not going to have the same dudes catching the ball from you, you know, for all of that or even most of that, probably. This is going to be turnover, because if you're great, you're going to get a huge salary, and that's going to impact how many other big salaries you can have. So you're always going to be rotating that. So this is his first chance. I like referring to what the Bills are doing this season as the first great experiment of Josh Allen's career. If picking him in the first place wasn't a great experiment, I mean, you can exclude that, his growing from, you know, this sort of wild, untamed horse to someone who is a legitimate MVP candidate. Now he's got to do it without Diggs here and with this remade core and maybe somewhat of a remade philosophy on offense, a third coordinator in 3 years or 4 years, I guess it is. He'll get a lot of run, I think, if they look pretty much like they've looked the last few years.
You'd take the 2 seed, right?
Sure.
You'd take 11-6 in the 2 seed?
In a second. Yeah. Yeah.
Would anybody not? Would any team not?
There have been times where I wouldn't want to settle for it with this team, but given the roster turnover, I feel like I'm not thinking about the 1 seed. Once the season gets rolling and we see what everybody's records are and how it's going, then, you know, that could change. But sitting here today with the schedule they're playing, the roster turnover, the quality of the conference, all of it rolled into one, I mean, I find it hard to think that they're going to win enough games to be the 1 seed. But yeah, 11-6, if that could get you the 2 again, you know, you got to handle your tiebreakers and all that stuff. Yeah, I think that would be, to me, that would be a great year. Even though I've said before, 12 wins equals a great year.
It's a fifth straight division title.
Right.
In that scenario. It's like 11-6 might not be, maybe not every fan would say yes to that. I'm sure not every fan would. It's the win total is 10.5. So you're almost kind of putting them, 10 or 11 would be where the market is. So it's not that great. You haven't really necessarily overperformed.
No,
11
wins.
But if you're the 2 seed, then you won your division,
right?
And that's big. Would you take 11-6 and a wild card?
Right now, I wouldn't sign for that. No,
So the division title is
the division title matters. Yeah, I think being at home matters. I mean,
2 seed is home for up to 2 playoff games,
right?
Maybe more.
I don't like sort of disqualifying myself from the one. And again, you know, we'll see what happens. But to me, I don't want to say it's unrealistic. I'm not counting on it. Like, you know what I mean? Like my definition of a successful season for them just does not include they have to get that. You know, I know they haven't gotten it, and I know I've made the point a few times, like a great way to avoid getting guys hurt is not having to play that extra playoff game. Like, that really hurt them last year. Maybe they beat the Chiefs if they don't lose the guys they lost in the Pittsburgh game, or even don't have to go as hard as they went in the Miami game to get the division in the first place. Like, that's a reason to not settle for 11 wins, because you're probably going to have to play to the wire, and then you're probably going to have to play week one of the playoffs, and that really hurt them last year.
Kansas City also got 2 extra rest days before that game. Because the Bills ended up playing Monday afternoon.
Right.
And the Chiefs had played Saturday night.
Yeah.
They might have used a lot of that time to warm up the Chiefs because of the right. The cold conditions that night when they beat Miami. But probably didn't hurt. Yeah, I agree with all that. I think the Bills would do a great job to win this division again. I mean, maybe that doesn't sound like much, but we've talked about the Jets a lot. Miami deserves some respect, too. I think it's going to be really tough. And the difference in the schedule that we went over last couple of days that the Jets have that the Bills don't could end up being important. Bills play Ravens, Chiefs, Lions. Jets play Pittsburgh, Denver, Minnesota. There are 3 different games there that all the teams in the division play. 3 different matchups, opponents. 803-0550 for your calls. I enjoyed the morning show yesterday having their first play draft. Did you hear the first play draft?
I did not hear first play draft. I missed that.
Yes. Who will be on the field
mm-hmm.
for the first play?
First offensive play of the year?
Sal was a part of it. Offensive play. Sal was a part of it. I thought Sal dominated, really. Did well.
Mm.
And Joe was up when, I don't know, not right when I turned it on, but I'm listening to Joe, and Nate was there too. And I texted Joe an idea, and he used it. Michael Thomas. Because once you start getting into Justin Shorter and Frank Gore Jr., mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe the odds, Ayuk, maybe the odds are better of some big move. Man, how low must the NFL be on Michael Thomas? Just done physically? Ankle?
He's nowhere yet, right? Yeah.
Here are the Bills bringing in MVS and even Claypool. There's a guy that like was the best receiver in the league, arguably, not forever ago. But if he's washed because of his injuries, that's kind of what the league is seemingly telling us.
That's what you're inclined to assume from, you know, the inaction around him, or, you know, him not being on a team, not even a camp. In the, nobody's taking the Chase Claypool flyer on him even. So
right.
That is pretty stark, I think.
Ayuk is holding in. We're calling this
right,
now.
He's there and watching. That's the new thing. Tua, kind of, I guess. I got the vibe from Marcel Louis-Jacques, who covers them for ESPN. He didn't do anything in 11-11. When he finally got on the field, all he did was hand off. Like, so I don't know if it's not exactly holding in. It sounds like he was there and had a uniform and everything, but doesn't sound like he's doing everything teamwork-wise. So that might be something to watch. CeeDee Lamb's not even with the Cowboys. He's home. I read today Adam Schefter, you know, just doing all the work. Because he's something about the CBA and where he's at, fifth year option or something, they have the option to rescind the fines if they want. It's $40,000 a day for him missing, but if they want to wash those away when they, you know, when he comes in and when they settle things, they can do that, I guess. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly why that is, but that's what I read.
Imagine living a life where being fined $40,000 a day really doesn't faze you.
Right. I can't imagine living such a life. I really can't.
You take the week off. Well, that's $200,000, sir. Okay.
Yep.
I'll get that right to you.
Just take it off.
What's your Venmo?
Take it off whatever you're going to give me eventually.
Yeah. Right. Whether they want to rescind the fines or not, just, you know.
You're probably going to give me the number, $30 million guaranteed when I sign a new contract. So you just take a couple hundred grand off of that. No big whoop.
$40,000 a day just for, you know, no biggie. That's fine. I can handle it.
Man. Yeah.
Frank is with us. Hello, Frank.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
All the time. I've never actually called.
Well, thanks for taking the plunge. We appreciate it, and thanks for listening.
So you were talking about players that were interested in camp, and I got several to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Bishop, we touched on. I want to talk about Dorian Williams, Ray Davis, and Kyrie Elam, and then maybe make my prediction on receivers. So if I can start in with Bishop, I really hope he does well, and I really hope he starts by the end of the season because I drafted him in my Dynasty League, so I got him for 4 years.
All right.
A safety?
You're invested.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I got him with the fifth round. Nobody wanted him, so.
Man, you're hardcore if you're drafting rookie safeties in fantasy football. You're ahead of me.
I only had one safety, and that is the guy on Arizona in Buda Baker, and he's going to be off contract for me next year, so I'm not going to sign up again. So I was looking for the guys.
Okay.
I think he's going to be good, but it's a next year thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Frank. 803-0550, if you want to join us. Getting connected with the fans, Bulldog. You love these connections we make. You've said it many times.
They're my fuel, Mike.
And they are brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Sal will join us in 20 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Still thinking about our caller drafting Cole Bishop in his fantasy league. Remember we talked to Matt Schauff, and I mentioned how from Draft Sharks, and I mentioned how he's to me like the guy I think of in fantasy for leagues where you draft defensive players, mm-hmm. IDPs, individual defensive players. And I thought maybe, I think we talked about it for a minute, like you were inclined after that conversation to get into more leagues that would draft safeties. But did that happen?
Are you on drugs right now?
That did not happen. Not yet. Still only July. Still only July.
Sure, there's time. Yeah. There's no chance it's going to happen, but there's time. Yeah. So, you know, you never say never.
I'm in a couple.
Never, probably.
I'm in a couple leagues with defensive guys, and yeah. I think this came up when we talked to Matt, that you really do learn.
Oh, sure.
A lot.
Who's
who.
Who's who, who's good, who's where, and yeah, sure.
There are people who are so naturally interested in sports that they would already know all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe I used to be that, but mm-hmm. really I've used fantasy as a crutch.
Yep.
Starting with baseball.
Sort of get back in, right.
Hockey,
yep.
Of course football to make sure I know.
Yep.
Like, when Kendre Miller reportedly left with an injury today at Saints camp, I was shook by that. A lot of Kendre Miller.
Right, okay, sure.
I don't need that to happen.
Yeah.
I did say I wanted an injury.
And I don't even know who that is.
So he is a second-year running back behind Kamara.
All right.
And the coach took a shot at him, kind of. Like, you can't make the team this way.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
You got to be out here, man.
You can't make the team from the training room. And I saw Sigmund Bloom quote tweet that with, can't make the club from the tub.
That's
better.
That is it.
Can't make the club from the tub.
You can't walk off the island and you can't make the club from the tub. That's it.
Yeah. Well, that definitely it's irrefutably true. Like, you know, whether people want to like make fun of you for all this, like you are up on guys that I just have no idea about that, you know, if I, you know, go look at everybody's depth charts, I'll figure out who everybody is, but, you know, I'm not drafting.
You don't need to.
Kendre Miller. No.
Bulldog would never draft Kendre Miller.
You never say never. I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens in September.
Would you draft Kamara?
It depends what my phone tells me to do.
That's right.
Or Owen.
Possibly.
Owen or my phone.
Possibly.
Yeah, possibly.
Guys get older, and I tend to just sort of write them off. But once in a while, you can get burned. Like when Derrick Henry keeps chugging along.
I saw a quote from Kamara today about his being there. I guess he wants a new deal too. But he's there. And he said, I'm not going to give them. I want more money. I'm not going to give them my money. So of course I'm here. Something to that effect.
The $40,000 a day fine didn't appeal to him.
Right. No, it didn't sound like a great plan.
And in his status, he can't have it rescinded.
Right. He's unlike, too much of a veteran. Right.
Unlike Lamb in his situation there.
Right.
All right. Sal coming up at 4. We'll talk about camp today. Also, some of Sean McDermott's and Brandon Bean's comments. We want to hear from you as well. 803-0550 is the number. Want to know about the kickoff rules. McDermott mentioned something about a silverware drawer, opening a silverware drawer, having these options that he has at receiver. And I don't know, like, I'm not somebody that when I open a silverware drawer, I think to myself, wow, there are so many choices in this drawer.
No, I mostly think, where are all the good spoons?
Where? Yes. Yes.
And why are they in one of my kids' rooms? For no reason.
Where could they have gone?
Right.
They're not in the sink.
A month ago, we had 8 spoons. We've got 3 now.
They're not in the dishwasher.
These are the kinds of things that make me insane, by the way.
You're down 5 spoons.
You know this. I'm telling you. Yeah, we're down 5 spoons, and I'm pretty pissed.
Not so bad.
I'm not even kidding.
I know.
My wife or the kids, I don't know who, we somebody brought these junky, weak-ass, can't-even-eat-ice-cream with them because they'll bend in half spoons, and like they were mixed in with the good spoons, and I segregated them. I'm like, fine, you guys want to have these crappy-ass, weak spoons in the drawer? They're going over there, not over here with the good spoons. I don't want to go in there for just, no, it's like I'm using a spork, for God's sake. What are we doing here?
Well, now you clearly have to get in one of those leagues.
Yeah.
So you can name a team the Good Spoons.
The Good Spoons.
Or the Weak Spoons, depending on how you feel the draft went.
Yeah.
Sal will join us after sports. Day one of Bills camp. More about it next with Sal, Mike Schoep, and the Bulldog, WGR. You know, no biggie. That's fine. I can handle it.
Man. Yeah.
Frank is with us. Hello, Frank.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
All the time. I've never actually called.
Well, thanks for taking the plunge. We appreciate it, and thanks for listening.
So you're talking about players that were interested in camp, and I got several to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Bishop, we touched on. I want to talk about Dorian Williams, Ray Davis, and Kyrie Elam, and then maybe make my prediction on receivers. So if I can start in with Bishop, I really hope he does well, and I really hope he starts by the end of the season because I drafted him in my dynasty league, so I got him for 4 years.
All right.
A safety?
You're invested.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I got him with the fifth round. Nobody wanted him, so.
Man, you're hardcore if you're drafting rookie safeties in fantasy football. You're ahead of me.
I only had one safety, and that is the guy on Arizona, in Buda Baker, and he's going to be off contract for me next year, so I'm not going to sign up again. So I was looking for the guys.
Okay.
I think he's going to be good, but it's a next year thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Frank. 803-0550, if you want to join us. Getting connected with the fans, Bulldog. You love these connections we make. You've said it many times.
They're my fuel, Mike.
And they are brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Sal will join us in 20 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Still thinking about our caller drafting Cole Bishop in his fantasy league. Remember we talked to Matt Schauff, and I mentioned how from Draft Sharks, and I mentioned how he's to me like the guy I think of in fantasy for leagues where you draft defensive players, mm-hmm. IDPs, individual defensive players. And I thought maybe, I think we talked about it for a minute, like you were inclined after that conversation to get into more leagues that would draft safeties. But did that happen?
Are you on drugs right now?
That did not happen. Not yet. It's still only July.
Sure, there's time. Yeah. There's no chance it's going to happen, but there's time. Yeah. So, you know, you never say never.
I'm in a couple.
Never, probably.
I'm in a couple leagues with defensive guys, and yeah. I think this came up when we talked to Matt, that you really do learn.
Oh, sure.
A lot.
Who's
who.
Who's who, who's good, who's where, and yeah, sure.
There are people who are so naturally interested in sports that they would already know all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe I used to be that, but mm-hmm. really I've used fantasy as a crutch.
Yep.
Starting with baseball.
So to get back in, right.
Hockey,
yep.
Of course football, to make sure I know.
Yep.
Like, when Kendre Miller reportedly left with an injury today at Saints camp. I was shook by that. A lot of Kendre Miller.
Right, okay, sure.
I don't need that to happen.
Yeah.
I did say I wanted an injury.
And I don't even know who that is.
So he is a second-year running back behind Kamara.
All right.
And the coach took a shot at him, kind of. Like, you can't make the team this way.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
You got to be out here, man.
You can't make the team from the training room. And I saw Sigmund Bloom quote tweet that with, I like can't make the club from the tub.
That's
better.
That is it.
Can't make the club from the tub.
You can't walk off the island and you can't make the club from the tub. That's it.
Yeah. Well, that definitely it's irrefutably true. Like, you know, whether people want to like make fun of you for all this, like you are up on guys that I just have no idea about that, you know, if I, you know, go look at everybody's depth charts, I'll figure out who everybody is, but you know, I'm not drafting.
You don't need to.
Kendre Miller. No.
Bulldog would never draft Kendre Miller.
You never say never. I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens in September.
Would you draft Kamara?
It depends what my phone tells me to do.
That's right.
Or Owen. Owen or my phone.
Possibly.
Yeah, possibly.
Guys get older, and I tend to just sort of write them off. But once in a while, you can get burned. Like when Derrick Henry keeps chugging along.
I saw a quote from Kamara today about his being there. I guess he wants a new deal too, but he's there, and he said, I'm not going to give them. I want more money. I'm not going to give them my money. So of course I'm here. Something to that effect.
The $40,000 a day fine didn't appeal to him.
Right. No, it didn't sound like a great plan.
And in his status, he can't have it rescinded.
Right. He's unlike, too much of a veteran. Right.
Unlike Lamb in his situation there.
Right.
All right. Sal coming up at 4. We'll talk about camp today. Also, some of Sean McDermott's and Brandon Bean's comments. We want to hear from you as well. 803-0550 is the number. Want to know about the kickoff rules. McDermott mentioned something about a silverware drawer, opening a silverware drawer, having these options that he has at receiver. And I don't know, like, I'm not somebody that when I open a silverware drawer, I think to myself, wow, there are so many choices in this drawer.
No, I mostly think, where are all the good spoons?
Where? Yes. Yes.
And why are they in one of my kids' rooms? For no reason.
Where could they have gone?
Right.
They're not in the sink.
A month ago, we had 8 spoons. We've got 3 now.
They're not in the dishwasher.
These are the kinds of things that make me insane, by the way.
You're down 5 spoons.
You know this. I'm telling you. Yeah, we're down 5 spoons, and I'm pretty pissed.
Not so bad.
I'm not even kidding.
I know.
My wife or the kids, I don't know who, somebody brought these junky, weak-ass, can't-even-eat-ice-cream with them because they'll bend in half spoons, and like they were mixed in with the good spoons, and I segregated them. I'm like, fine, you guys want to have these crappy-ass, weak spoons in the drawer? They're going over there, not over here with the good spoons. I don't want to go in there for... It's like I'm using a spork, for God's sake. What are we doing here?
Well, now you clearly have to get in one of those leagues so you can name a team the Good Spoons.
The Good Spoons.
Or the Weak Spoons, depending on how you feel the draft went.
Yeah.
Sal will join us after sports, day one of Bills camp. More about it next with Sal, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.